We come this morning to continue to consider the doctrine of hell. We saw the nature of hell last time. We want to look at the intensity of hell this morning. As we saw the nature of hell, we come to consider hell is a place and a condition where God's wrath will be manifested with great intensity. Our Father, as we come to this subject, you would give to us, Lord, as your people, a greater appreciation for your love, for your mercy, for your appreciation for the salvation that we have in you, O blessed Christ, what you endured, what you went through. May it also stir up our hearts to testify to others, seek to persuade sinners of the terror of the Lord. Be pleased, Lord, to work in our midst. Very important subject that you have given in your word. So we pray for your assistance in your name. Amen. As we consider God's wrath that will be manifested with great intensity, we're reminded of the words of Moses in Psalm 90 and in verse 11, where he says, "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." Who knows? Who can comprehend that anger that will be the makeup of the painful torment and punishment of those who are in hell? God's wrath totally exceeds anything that we could even begin to imagine. Description of God's dealing, Psalm 11 and verse 6. Listen to the psalmist. "Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup." Fire and brimstone and a burning wind. That is a great tempest that just simply suffocates those with his wrath. This great wind, so to speak, of God's wrath. That is without even one little drop of mercy with it. Scripture describes that awful place. Let's look more closely at what this intensity involves. First of all, it involves everlasting destruction that comes from Christ's presence and the glory of his power. The Lord Christ will personally, by his presence and power, execute destruction and punishment forever and ever. It does not come from an angel. It comes from the Lord Christ himself. And it will be that which is executed forever and ever. His power will bring forth such an energy, the glory of that power, beyond what we can even begin to imagine. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, where we read, in starting with verse 6, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation," 2 Thessalonians 1:6, "those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, whom the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." It is not left to an angel. It is Christ Himself who will execute this punishment that's due to sin in that place. The glory of His power will be manifested in that day. Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans, the 9th chapter, in verse 22. What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? To show His wrath, to make His power known, it will certainly be upon these vessels of wrath, and they have been prepared for destruction. Glory, God's immense power will be exercised by the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, how little power is needed upon this earth to defeat opposition by God. Psalm 80. Psalm 80, this is what we read. Psalm 80 and verse 16 of that psalm. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Does not have to lift a finger, but simply a look, simply His eye can destroy. They perish, as it were, at the rebuke of His countenance. What little He needs to exercise of that glorious, magnificent power that resides in Him. Look at Job. Job, the 4th chapter. Job chapter 4 and verse 9 of that chapter. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of His anger they are consumed. The blast of God they perish, and by the breath. It's like breathing out of your nose, your nostrils. If you would put a candle just 6 feet away, on a table, and you try to blow it out just with what comes out of your nose, how difficult would that be? It would almost be impossible. This is just a little candle light. To show the immense power of Almighty God by the blast of God, that's all He needs, just simply His breath will consume. Look at Isaiah 40th chapter of Isaiah. And verse 15 of that chapter. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust on the scales. The nations, plural, all the nations are as simply a little tiny drop. The bucket is not full. It's not pouring something into the bucket. It is simply a drop. That is how the nations stack up against Almighty God and are counted as a small dust on the scale after they have weighed the gold. A little bit of particle, a little bit of dust. That's how insignificant. That is how nothing, even the mighty nation, even the mighty men, the warriors, those that go against God, they are simply like the dust on the scale. Insignificant. Then what does it mean when the Hebrew writer says that we ought to take heed lest we fall into the hands of the living God. If only a look, if only a breath destroys, and there's all this destruction, exercising His mighty power, what is it? To be in His hands. Those hands that measured the waters, that spanned the heavens. These hands, as the old writers used to say, you just a poor little grasshopper, to be taken into those hands, gripped, crushed, and squeezed by His almighty power. Cannot even begin to understand the power of God and the intensity of judgment at the hands of God. This punishment of wicked men will be continuous. It's uniform forever and ever. It will never be with any change in it. There will never be any variety in it. There will never be any interruption in it. But it will be as described in Revelation 14 and verse 10 and 11. These words, He Himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of His indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, the presence of holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night who worship the beast. It is that which comes upon with no interruption. You see, many of the ancients, they drank their wine mixed with water. But the wrath of God is totally unmixed. There is no mercy. There's not a drop of pity at all. It is that which come in its fullness upon those who are in hell. The Hebrew writer again seeks to explain and to show just a little bit regarding this intensity when he says in Hebrews 10 and verse 27 these words. He says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversary. The word indignation here signifies to wax hot, to boil over with great intensity of heat, fury, violence. It shows the intensity of God's wrath and the punishment upon those apart from Christ. Thirdly, you see the justice of this justice of God, that is. He will punish in proportion to their sins. Hebrews, the second chapter. Listen to what he says in verse 2 of that chapter. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape? A just reward according to His justice, they will be punished. God's justice will be pure, without any pity, without any mercy shown to sinners in that day. James, the second chapter. James says this in verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, but judgment is without mercy. In Ezekiel, the seventh chapter, Ezekiel says this in verse 8 and 9. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all of your abominations. Mine eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. The intensity of God's wrath. He pours out His fury. He doesn't just give it out. He doesn't trickle out. But He spends His anger like as if there is no reserves. I mean, He spends it upon them. He judges them according to their ways. Repays them. Mine eye will not spare. He won't overlook. You can't get lost in the crowd. It isn't like He will come and suddenly He goes to the next one and skips you over. No. Nor will I have pity, but I will repay you according to your ways. All will receive just punishment. In hell, God draws out all His forces, all of His might into the field, where wrath is the general leading them along the way. False generation in our day. The false God in our day. Who they say is a God who wouldn't hurt a flea, for He's a God of all love. There's no fear of God. No fear of standing before Him. Nothing. Listen to Isaiah. When Isaiah and says in Isaiah 33 in verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? No one. Do you understand this? Who in the world can dwell? How can you live in this context? How you would live an everlasting without ever any interruption burnings? Pressing to the minds of men a God whom they will face. But you see, as we look at the intensity of hell, and the fury of God's wrath. Listen to me. Who is it that can stand? The good news is there is one and only one that can stand and has stood. And that is the Lord Christ. He alone is the one who has stood. Listen. Isaiah 53, what's involved in our Lord Jesus Christ being that mediator between God and man standing in the stead of sinners? Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken. Now notice, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Listen, here He is upon the cross, upon Calvary, and there is poured out the intensity of God's wrath due to the sin of sinners, as a just God meeting out what every sin deserves upon the head of the Lord Christ. He was smitten by God. He was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquities, crying out before the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This Christ, this Lord, who came voluntarily out of love that God has for His people to die. This Christ says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I will pay your debt. I have paid your debt. Come to me." For a sinner, you see, whose eyes are open, what is the reaction? But like the publican beating upon his breast, "God have mercy, I don't deserve your mercy, I don't deserve your grace." Yet one that stood and endured the cross, he did so, says the gospel, with joy for his people. There's only one that can stand under God's wrath, judgment, sin, and that is the Lord Christ, who took sin upon himself, who knew no sin, says Paul, to reconcile us to the living God. That's why when Paul deals with such, he says in Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 13 of that chapter, he says this: "He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins." He's delivered us. He's delivered us. He's taken it all upon Himself. He is the Lord Christ, the Savior. What triumph is in the words of the Apostle Paul when he comes in Romans 8 and verse 32 to say this: "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." He didn't spare His own Son. In other words, His Son took the full weight of our debt. It isn't like the Father said, "Well, because you're my Son, take it easy, even though the debt deserves a lot more." No, He took the full strength, deserved just punishment upon Himself. And He says, "How shall not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justified. Who is he who condemns? But it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God the Father." What a tremendous escape there is. But men are resting in their own false hope, resting in their own misunderstanding of thinking that somehow they will make it in glory and somehow it will not be as bad as it could be. As a minister of the gospel of Christ, I look out over an audience and I would plead not to trifle with God's mercy. Not to trifle with God's mercy. Look at the judgment day. The judgment day has come. You are one who is without Christ, and you're standing before the judge of all, the Lord God. You're standing before His throne. He's sitting upon His throne, and you're standing there before Him. And as you stand in that hour, solemn hour, holiness gets up from the crowd and steps up to the judge, and He cries to the judge, "You are a pure God. You cannot behold iniquity. The eyes of your glory have been continually provoked by this man." And He points to that man. As holiness quietly walks back, justice walks up and stands before the throne. And He says, "I must be satisfied to the utmost farthing. He would not repent. He would not turn, and I must be satisfied for the debt that He owes." Justice walks back. Love and truth come up together. And as they come up together, they say before the throne, "This man, his whole life has been to abuse your love time and again. You have shown your love many times. You've shown him the Lord Christ. But he would not come to that love." Truth says yes. And with love, this is what I would say too, is that he spoke falsehood. He spoke lies. He downgraded you as a living God to be just like man. He was not and did not believe the truth, this man. Well, by this time, jealousy can't hold back any longer. And jealousy comes running to the throne. He pushes aside love and truth. He is boiling. He rushes up. He says, "This sinner has been rooted to 1,001 idols. His love for money, his love for houses, his love for pleasure. He had no time for you. He could not spend one moment in Holy Scripture or coming before you. He never came and attended the church, although invited. He would not hear the gospel." All of these witnesses come before the throne. The man hearing these witnesses, he says within himself, "Well, surely mercy will plead for me." Mercy walks up slowly, deliberately, and before the throne he says, "No, I will not plead for you. For I have shown you mercy time and time again. I have given you years to live. You lived a long life, many opportunities, but every time you said no, you would not come." And at that moment, the living God points the finger and says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire and torment." Be a mighty day. Sobering day in that day of judgment. Only Christ can save. Only Christ redeems. Only Christ will be an advocate, will stand and say, "I paid His price, her price." You need to come to Christ. You need to come in faith. You need to come repentant. You need to cast out all of the pleasures and idols of this life and lay hold of Christ as not only your Savior, but totally your Master. You must come, leave your sins behind, and there must be a spirit of forgiveness. You can't earn your way. You must come and cast yourself Lord, if you will have mercy, you will have mercy and come before him. But the Lord has said in John, Gospel of John, he says, anyone who comes to me, I will not cast out. I will not refuse. What good news? The good news is while you are here in this life, the good news is while you are living, don't pass up opportunity after opportunity. Salvation is never tomorrow. Salvation is today. And today you come. What glory, what depth that gives to the salvation that you and I have as believers. Profound sense of gratitude. Every morning waking up should be upon our lips. Lord, I praise your name, singing glory be unto God in the highest. Look what you have done on my behalf. You've taken hell for me. You've taken punishment for me. You have taken that which I deserved, and you've made me right with the living God. I will be in glory with you. Look at your life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in union with him? Is your profession simply from your mouth, or is it from your heart? Is it simply intellectual, or is it that from the heart? Has there been a change? Is there a new man? These are the issues of life. And since our hands is in the hand of God, don't face that day where mercy stands as your last resort and he says no. For I have given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. May God grant that you would come to Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us in Christ. How can it be, Lord, when we see your beauty and we see your glory? How can it be that we entertain sin, that we entertain the pleasures that are against your holiness, pleasures of sin? How can it be? Lord, stir us up, set a fire underneath our feet, that we might run more swiftly in the ways of righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. In your name, amen.